Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Welcome to Transition Radio. We are in vacation mode here today, even though we're all still here in the real world, but I just came back from vacation.
And I just got back from my vacation and going on to another vacation, as I was telling
you. Not exactly a vacation.
Few,
tell
folks.
Them what you're actually going
to
do, Ken.
Yeah, what I'm up to is going through a life transition. I'm going to the World Triathlon
we
event.
We hope he won't transition during that event.
Yeah, but it's a USAT World Triathlon event up in Penticton, British Columbia. So last year in Miami, Florida, I qualified at the Nationals to go to Penticton, which is a world-class event, world event. It's the largest event outside of the Olympics, I believe. It's going to be about 4,000 athletes participating.
Are you going to like march into the stadium?
A parade, parade of flags and the whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, we want lots of video for Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send lots of stuff.
On our Transition Radio page.
Yeah. So, you know, our listeners, you want to check it out, you can just Google USAT. Penticton World Triathlon, and you'll be able to get that.
And I just came back from a fabulous laid-back week in the Sierras at my favorite place called the Silver Lake Resort up on the June Lake Loop, where the skies are blue and the trees are green and the lake is gorgeous. And I went with my two children, who are not children anymore, 32 and 29, good ages, because then you don't have to watch them every minute. You don't have to cook every meal for them.
It's fabulous. I bet they hope you're not watching them at 24 and 29. I bet they're
amen
independent.
Amen to that, brother. The trick then is trying to convince my son that if you really want to fish, like, you have to get out there before 10 in the morning, because, you know, that they like to sleep in at that age, and the fish apparently only bite early in the morning.
You know, there's an old saying, the early bird catches the worm and the early guy catches the fish.
Apparently that's how it works.
Yeah, that's so funny. Wow. Well, you know, today we have some amazing guests coming up. The guests are revolutionizing industry through being comfortable with changes, right? Mm-hmm. Through going through some real changes and seeing things that other people have not been able to see, which is why they can revolutionize things.
Right, right.
So change is a big subject for a lot of people, and especially during summertime.
And, you know, we were talking yesterday about change. It's an interesting thing about change, because change is necessary, or we'd all just get bored to death in life, right? So we want change. We want variety. On the other hand, we hate the discomfort of what isn't familiar.
That's right.
And you have to be able to embrace that to be able to make a change or accept a change.
Isn't that interesting? Mm. So most people like, they like being entertained. So they like change. They like see new things, new variety. They don't want to be bored.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes if you're taking a vacation, of course, we're going to get into that next week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, how to survive a vacation, if
survive
I remember correctly.
Survive the family vacation.
I can hardly wait to do that show. But change, we all go through it. Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Mm.
And sometimes we learn and grow and develop, and sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But it's not easy to be the revolutionary who's creating the change, the one who's come up with the new ideas and doing things in a different way, like our upcoming guest.
You know, one of my mentors taught me years ago, find something that nobody's ever done and then go do it.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, that's interesting. What if I applied that on a daily basis to do something I haven't done and then go do it?
Wow.
And so I did. I used myself as an experiment. And what really happened out of that is I got very comfortable with change and looking at things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really encouraged my entrepreneurial spirit because I started seeing things when I started setting that intention, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you and me are big on intention here.
Mm-hmm.
When I started setting an intention to do things that I've never done before and improve or develop or see things differently, man, I can't tell you the amount of ideas that came flowing through.
Wow.
In that creative space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our guests that are coming up had that same experience. When you start to focus and you ask different questions, you ask how things could be different, and you're committed to making changes, life happens differently.
And I think it's sort of like breath of fresh air, new life, new energy, you know, that comes in with those new things. You know, like yesterday when we were at the C3 office, and we are looking at this incredible different space like you and I have never worked in. I mean, now we're entrepreneurs at this point. But way back when, you were in an office once as a stockbroker, right? And I was a teacher in a classroom. And, you know, I also worked in sales and marketing for a resort. We never had an office that looked anything like what you and I saw yesterday at C3 Insurance. But I think those new kinds of ideas motivate people. They make things exciting and different again.
They do. They change helps us, I believe, to get re-inspired. I think that's the word right there. Re-inspires us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, going through change is something we should talk about. Our show is now changing times.
Excellent point.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, and just looking at that ourselves, I know when change happened, there were some steps for us. You know, the general manager approached us, said, "Hey, would you like to move your show to another space?" And we thought, well, that's interesting. What's the advantage, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of disadvantages when you move anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at some of the advantages. We looked at larger listenership, easier way to get our show distributed. We looked at ways that this might benefit our not only us, our listeners, to start out Mondays with us, and here we are. So we've just made the change. You want to tell everybody a little bit about that?
That we're going to be on Mondays.
On Mondays,
at
7 o'clock
instead
in San Diego.
Of Tuesdays.
Yeah, and then of course Wednesday across the country on our other network.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
and still, of course, the podcasts will be out there on 14 platforms.
14 platforms on podcasts, and then of course we're on Roku and Google TV and YouTube.
Yeah.
And my favorite is we recently were listed on iHeartRadio.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also up on Blog Talk Radio now.
Cool.
So we've got quite a few platforms that people can listen to us now.
Just in case they miss that broadcast at Monday, 7 o'clock PST.
Right.
Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about change, we often don't associate change with loss or grief. But any kind of change requires giving something up, right? So change and loss really do go hand in hand. And sometimes there are changes that people don't think are going to create grief or loss, like marriage, for example.
I can relate to that.
Everybody's all happy about it, right? It's this whole cool thing that's going to happen. But when you really think about it, marriage means giving up your single life.
Right.
It means giving up maybe spending your money just on yourself. It means maybe giving up the place you've lived or the lifestyle, right?
Right.
Things have to change.
That's right. And, you know, and a lot of people are not comfortable with change, as we mentioned a little earlier, right? So if you're not comfortable with change, you're not comfortable with giving up things, it's very difficult to evolve and grow and be all you want to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, after I go through grief when I drink a milkshake, right? Because when I get to the end, it's gone. And I'm like wanting more, and it's gone. I have to grieve, you know. And I think about, should I go get another one? And I look at my belly, and my belly says, no, you don't need another
one.
Your
trainer's going, no, not until after Penticton.
That's right. Now, don't be doing that before you're doing a triathlon.
Yeah, because the last 25 miles, you'd be thinking about that extra milkshake.
So, you know, the point is that, you know, change, we all go through it. It's all always there.
It's all part of life.
Yeah. So I what I like to do is, you know, with some of my coaching clients, if they're having difficulties with change, what I like to do is just ask them to, you know, write out what you're afraid of, right? Mm-hmm. Write out what you're worried will happen, or you're contemplating that this, you know, if you're contemplating it's going to work out, you know, for the worst, then what would happen if it was going to work out for the best for you, right? Whatever that change is. Mm-hmm. So there are things we can do to be proactive, because this mind is always wandering, right? And we really need to master our minds.
And, you know, speaking of our mind, you know, we have to remember we've got that piece of our brain that its whole job, the amygdala's whole job, is to just keep scanning the environment going, am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? And if it doesn't think you're safe, it's now going to prepare you for fight, flight, or freeze.
Right.
And that turns off the thinking part of your brain. So we don't make really great decisions when we're in the midst of that. So it is good to be proactive. It is good to be thinking ahead.
And that is so important with when we're talking about change.
Yeah.
Because when you can change your mind from worry or fear or stress into a place of calmness, then what happens? Mm-hmm. We make good decisions. We make right choices. Things open up in ways that we never thought would happen just because we're coming from a place of calmness.
And so I think coming from that place of calmness and excitement about doing things differently, our upcoming guests, Jamie Reed and Garrett Schmank, are going to talk about having had that exact experience with what some call the archaic industry of insurance.
Hardly wait.
Yeah.
Coming up in our
really
next segment.
Did some shaking up here.
So we'll be right back.
All right.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. We are so happy to be here with you today. We're kind of in vacation mode. I just got from one.
Yeah.
Ken is leaving on one. And our two guests today are on an airplane almost the second they walk out the door of here. So
and,
I am,
you know,
sporting
I bet,
my cowboy hat today.
I'll bet you a lot of our listeners are on vacation right now, probably listening to this, right?
That's true. That's
I love
true.
Your cowboy hat. That's
Isn't
amazing.
It's cool. It's called a Shady Grady.
Did you ride any bulls with that cowboy hat lately?
Do not ride bulls.
Don't ride bulls. Okay.
I sit by the lake and look cute.
It's a very Arizona look with the turquoise and the cowboy hat you're rocking.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thank
I like
you.
Yeah.
See, I was kind of feeling one with nature today.
That's good.
And because our guests are revolutionaries in the insurance industry, Ken actually wore a t-shirt, which you can't see.
I wore my t-shirt
and
today.
And I'm wearing jeans and couch clothes.
I went salmon
pants. It's a little cool in the studio. So
Jamie has salmon pants on. Yeah. That is really cool. Right. So let me tell you who is here with us today. Yeah. Jamie Reed has over 20 years of experience in the insurance industry. And he's been on every side of the buying cycle there. He has a management degree and a plethora of formal insurance education certifications. He has been successful for over 10 years in this business, has patents and technology. I want to know about this.
I thought it was 20 years.
Companies. I don't know. It says 10.
As a broker. Oh, as a broker. Okay, yeah.
He's been a catalyst for breathing new life into an otherwise stagnant insurance industry. Archaic is the word I've even heard used. Prehistoric. And with him, the Wunderkind, Garrett Schmink.
The Wunderkind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, why do you hear this
guy?
That's
a new name for him.
Yeah, right. Jamie found him because Jamie wanted to really set the world on fire in insurance, bringing technology to whole new levels. So Garrett came from Scottsdale, Arizona. He graduated with a degree in, marketing, business marketing, with an emphasis in digital technology. I love that.
Yes.
And we want to know a lot more about that. But he says that some of the most important life lessons he learned were in being captain of a state championship football team. And may I say, in my own experience of you, Garrett, you are one really cool guy. And I think the two of you are an amazing team. And let's just get right into it. What's different about C3 Insurance Company?
Well, let's just dive right into it, right? Insurance is all about the money. It always sits on the L side of the P&L. So making sure that you're paying the least amount possible is always a top priority. So when it comes to insurance, there's really three things that a broker has to do. They have to be able to place coverage that's adequate and proper for the business.
Mm-hmm.
They got to make sure it's with an insurer that's going to pay the claims, right? And number
yes.
three, they got to try to make sure that it's at the optimal price point, the lowest possible with the other things in place. So with that, if you think about how most businesses end up getting quotes, they give information to an agent, gets put onto a form, and it gets sent to an underwriter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very black and white, it's binary, yes or no type questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that underwriter receives it, and he's got 100 other quote requests in a queue, and he's got 200 change requests to policies, 300 emails. There's all this noise in that space.
Right.
So we need a way to cast light and say, hey, this is the quote you really need to put your time and energy into and bring it to the top of the surface. So it's almost like we need that Jerry Maguire moment. Show me the money, right? And
right.
we tried that, and what we found is that doesn't really work in real life. You know, the underwriters are kind of conservative in nature, and that just doesn't go, right?
So, and just so that our listeners are clear, an underwriter is someone who works for an insurance company, is
correct.
That correct?
They work for the insurance company, and ultimately they're the ones that price the policy for the coverage.
Got
and
it.
What's different about insurance versus, say, a financial product is we don't have mad money. We don't have Jim Cramer blaring loudly or Bloomberg where they're really selling financial products, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until now, that's really what we're doing. And we're not on CNN yet talking about our clients, but that's the idea. There's three differentiators that I think that we're bringing into the industry. And the first thing is that we go out and we bring Skylar and our production team, and we interview our clients. So rather than just putting on a form that employee turnover is 20%,
mm-hmm.
it's an important factor in how an underwriter prices commercial insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We interview them and say, you know.
Video interview.
Video interview that's interactive. And we say, hey, tell us turnover's, you know, not that high with your company. It's a difficult labor time. How are you handling it? When that owner speaks about creating a family atmosphere and culture, that brings color to the submission. It really changes the way an underwriter will look at it. So
mm-hmm.
they get a video link of it so that they can price off of. It makes a big difference. And then if you take another example, businesses have losses, and that scares those underwriters, right? The guys that are getting yelled at all
sure.
the time, show me the money. They need something that shows, well, what's changed with this operation that I'm not going to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll, again, take Skylar out, meet with a client, help them.
Skylar is sitting here videoing us right now,
yeah.
so you don't see him with
he's
us.
Skylar
of production
Sky
team.
Films, yes.
Yeah.
We'll interview the manager or the owner of the company, film a training program that's very customized to their process, and we'll say, you know, maybe they had losses in the past, but they haven't since they started working with us, and
mm-hmm.
here's why.
Mm-hmm.
So price them as if they haven't had those losses, and that makes a big difference. And the third, I'm sure you're going to talk about it since you were just at our offices yesterday, but it's really creating a lot of energy in the office environment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come there, we have a co-working space, and we bring underwriters in who price the accounts in our office, and we'll take them to the coffee bar and get them amped up, you know, ready to rock. And then if they need a little lubing, we'll bring them over a beer and get them loosened up, you know, right. at the bar.
You're the Google of the insurance world. That's what I said.
You guys absolutely are. In fact, when I was in your office yesterday, I was thinking to myself, this is the first office that I feel comfortable. I would actually go back to work in an office. I've been independent for years, but I would go work with a group in an office if I had an office like yours. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. The energy there, the flow, the people, the way you have that laid out. It is that in itself is revolutionizing how people show up.
Yep. You know, one of the things I was aware of, I know you have a big emphasis in technology. And some people think that when technology comes on board, the human experience is lost. The relationships aren't as important. But I don't see that at all with you guys. I think it's just the opposite. Even what you were just describing, Jamie, feels to me like you give the underwriters a chance to have a personal relationship with the insureds.
Well, you referenced Garrett coming on, and he's a valuable part of building culture, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about. And mm-hmm. even though we build an office that's state of the art, it's really just a symbol or a house for us to work our culture. And Garrett, you can talk about.
I want to talk about
that.
Garrett, about flying the drones around the office. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Everyone wants
he does,
to know.
Ladies and gentlemen,
how
does.
Do we use drone technology now for risk management, for risk insurance?
Yeah, thanks, Ken and Paula. Just like you said, I think a lot of people think innovation in technology is going to be something that disrupts the insurance mm-hmm. space. Rather, we think we can leverage innovation in technology in order to better help build those relationships and bring color to the submissions for our clients. Mm-hmm. For an example, we use a drone to 3D map. Oh, thanks, Ken. We use a drone to 3D map our clients' facilities mm-hmm. so that it can get that context or that contextual, the first C of the C3, mm-hmm. Contextualized experience to our underwriters. So we take our drones out to our clients' facilities and map, 3D map the entire facility.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And you do, though, sometimes fly it around the office.
Oh, yeah. We'll fly it every day. Sky takes it out over the beach. The drone's gotten a lot of use.
I love that.
My kids are ready to kick their little toy drones away. They're like, when's Uncle Garrett coming to bring your work
right,
drone?
Right, right.
That's great.
But all of this technology actually does translate into a better experience for the buyer, right? Like me, if I'm buying insurance and I say, why do I want to come to C3? All of this actually is going to save me money, correct? Because you guys taught me something about wiggle room. Can
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Explain that?
Well, there's two things. There's the energy component, which is what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So you have to have underwriters who like working with you. So we've already created all that. The second is you're talking about how they price, right? Mm-hmm. Most people see Progressive on TV and Flo's saying, we'll quote us and all our competitors.
Right.
Well, really what they're saying is Progressive looks at State Farm and Travelers' filings with the Department of Insurance. Mm-hmm. And there's a roadmap how they price. And they say, here's our starting price. And then here's these modifiers we can give depending on what they do in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of agents just go out and say, give me pricing. Well, that's not how it works. The underwriters, when they're pricing, they go through a flow. They need to be able to check all those boxes and really feel comfortable that an agent didn't just check a box, that it's real and that it's there.
Yes.
So when you bring that technology piece back in it, and we'll interview the client talking about it, but we'll also tour them through the facility. We might have a manager talk for a minute, an employee talk. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes something real that they believe in. And so that does translate in direct dollars.
That's
amazing, man. And, you know, I think one of the things I like about you guys is that you are innovative in ways that I've never seen before. So how are you scaling this? Are you going to scale this this model out there in the world? Is that what your plan is? What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not going to grow too fast, but it will scale. We build a place that people want to come to. And so in Southern California, what's happened a lot is big national and international brokers have consumed all the small local markets. Well, the brokers that are at those places really don't want to be there once that culture starts to change, right?
Yeah,
once it becomes corporate America, they don't want to be there anymore. And so already what's happening is those brokers are calling us and saying, hey, we really want your culture. We want to be a part of that. Oh. And so we're interviewing those people. And as they come in and we felt like it's the right cultural fit, we'll keep expanding our footprint in a controlled but aggressive manner.
So are you guys providing, since we're kind of going down that route with insurance agents, do you guys provide leads or how do people come in and how do people find you?
Well, that's a great question. And
why
don't you give your contact information and then we'll come back in the next segment and talk more about that.
Sure thing. You can reach us at Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at c3insurance.com or Garrett.
Garrett at G-A-R-R-E-T-T at c3insurance.com.
All righty, and we'll be back with more of Jamie and Garrett in just a moment.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, where today we are interviewing two gentlemen that founded a company that's revolutionizing an industry. So, Garrett, we're talking a little bit about the journey. How did this whole concept come into being?
You know, I just from being a baby, I knew I always wanted to be in insurance. I don't think you'd ever hear anyone say that, and it was a complete lie. That's not at all how it is.
You kind of have insurance eyes. I can see that.
Do I have insurance
eyes?
I
see that.
I don't know what those look like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I have a business marketing degree with an emphasis in technology, and I've been in the startup tech scene for the past 5-6 years. I met with Jamie, and he came to me and said, hey, I've been in insurance for the past 20 years, and it's a prehistoric industry. Mm-hmm. There's so many places where we can use innovation and technology to leverage and drive client relationships and drive down prices for our clients. I have some ideas, I've got some patents issued, and I need someone to help me bring it to market. And the rest is history from there.
Wow.
That's so good.
Did you intend in the beginning to have this state-of-the-art, incredible office that we spent time in yesterday that's like the Google of San Diego?
You know, I don't know if we set out with that as an intention or not, but it just sort of evolved, right? We were principals in another agency for years, over a decade, as you referenced, and it was a great agency and a place we loved to work, but our vision was just slightly different, right?
Yeah.
You saw it versus what a normal office atmosphere was.
Oh, yes.
And everything starts with people, as you referenced earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And our thought is, if we create a space that people love to be at, then we're going to attract the best people in the industry. And that's where it starts and finishes.
Yes.
So that was the concept.
You know what I get to is that when you treat your employees right, you know, that's where you start. Mm-hmm. Those employees are going to treat their customers right. And, you know, ultimately, it just trickles down to everybody.
Yeah. So, last Friday, you know what happened? It was Friday, and I was working late, and I walk out of my office, and there are four account managers still working at their desks. And I just kind of thought, wow, that's unusual. And it's 6 o'clock, and I look up, and at the bar, there's like 15 people, and I know like two of them. And so I walk over to the account managers, and he's like, hey, ladies, it's like 6 on a Friday. What are you doing? And they said, well, we were going to go to happy hour, but then we just decided to have our husbands come here. Oh. They're caught in traffic, so we're just cleaning up some work and waiting for them. We're going to have happy hour here. And I thought, you know, this is great. We've achieved something unique and
that's cool.
Not even what we intended to do.
That may be a first in the whole business world, that anybody, first of all, wants to stay longer and that they have happy hour at the office.
Back to that reference, like you said, Paul, the Google reference. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how they did it in the 90s. They set out to be the biggest and best technology company by attracting the best talent within the industry.
Uh-huh.
Positive company culture is our organization's oxygen. It's what drives us forward and what drives our business to succeed. Mm.
That's great. Well, you know, you guys are bringing fun to insurance. Are you bringing fun to your customers? That's what I want to know. So tell me about your customers. Like, who shows up? Who do you guys service?
You know, for the first time in a long time, customers are coming to our offices. Normally, clients don't really, right? We're a service industry. So usually we go to their offices. And we bring fun when we go to the field, too, especially when we bring cameras and production teams. It kind of does what you did in the intention. It elevates everything. But we do have clients. We're about to have a launch party that will happen at the beginning of October where we'll have any of the clients that we can want come in. Mm. And as our living room atmosphere fills out every month, we run a tempo of employee management webinars that our clients are invited to come at. They can grab a beer, we host lunch, and have a casual, informative session.
That is so cool. And I actually know people personally who work for you guys. So I can attest to the world that people love working for you guys.
That's a really good point. What are some of the core values that you guys bring to this industry that people are attracted to?
Well, we have five, but if you look at those five, we say it starts with trust, like because it is a people industry, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to have a relationship with somebody, you first have to have trust or there is no relationship.
Absolutely.
And it ends with fun because, hey, this is what we do for a good majority of our life. So why not make it fun? You want to talk about everything in between?
And then challenging, I think, is maybe the kicker in the middle. It's what I bring to the table, you know, asking questions why. If I ask a question or look at a process and ask why three times, and if the answer is because we've always done it that way, then it's time to change that process.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Challenging is really important. We have an open door policy where all our staff and our team can challenge us on what we say, just like we can challenge them, and we challenge ideas and always trying to swim upstream. Mm-hmm. And kind of change the status quo.
And when you're challenging us, the challenge is for us to listen with empathy, right? Mm-hmm. And that empathy,
exactly.
Listening with empathy is a core value. And so it's easier said than done, right? Because I have to actually become him to hear what he's trying to say.
Oh, that's so true.
That's probably the hardest thing to do on a consistent basis, but mm-hmm. we all hold each other accountable to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time when everybody thought a company had to be run with rules and regulations and strict time constrictions and all of that. You guys are the total opposite of that. And what I love about that is it's sort of like ruling from love rather than fear. You know, I mean, that's a little bit corny, but you know what I mean? It's that's how I feel about it. And that's what I saw when I was there and walking around among your employees and that office atmosphere.
It's kind of the Southwest model, right? Everybody is empowered mm-hmm. there equally to make decisions. It's a very flat organization. And if you have good process, you have good training and expectations, then everybody can be empowered and be on a level playing field.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
I love that too. And of course, when you say there's no rules or regulations, you're in one of the most highly regulated industry in the world.
Right.
So we do know there are some guidelines.
That's true. Hopefully the Department of Insurance heard that.
We don't want to give the wrong impression here.
We emphasize that part a lot. So how long has C3 actually been around?
So we just opened April 1st.
Oh, my goodness. So you're... Really?
Yeah, we have 23 brokers currently.
That's amazing in that short a period of time.
It really is, and 43 employees. But the average experience of a broker in our office is over 30 years. An average experience of an employee is over 20, despite the fact that we're bringing in a slew of millennials to kind of backfill the energy and create the future.
And I like the old guys in the office, too. I saw that 70-year-old guy there walking around. That was good. It made my heart soul, my soul sing, you know?
We had a wine event the other night that I didn't get to attend, but I did get a text picture of what I was missing, and it was an 81-year-old Ivan, you know, who's still a frisky agent producing business, hanging out with a couple of account managers, feeding him grapes while he's having a great time at the office.
I love that. And you know what? I just have a feeling people out there are just itching to know. They want insurance. They want to work with you. How do they get a hold of you?
I think the best way to get a hold of us is check us out online, www.c3insurance.com. You can check us out on Facebook at C3 Insured. We've got a Twitter. We've got an Instagram page, which you probably won't see any other insurance agency on.
Probably not.
And then you can shoot us an email at relations@c3insurance.com.
Would you give that one more time? Relations?
Yeah, relations. RELATIONS at C, the letter C, the number 3, insurance.com.
Perfect. Perfect.
Very good. So let's go back to the business. Specialty. Are there any kind of specialty practices that you embrace?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have industry verticals. So we have a large brewery program, over 100 breweries nationally that we focus on. Wow. The life science is a very big segment. We're in the capital of that, right? We have a couple practice leaders who are building that division, and we will continue to aggressively expand. And then there are a slew of brokers who are building out our specialty practices in auto dealerships and construction and manufacturing, each one of those verticals. The other generic kind of broadcast is complex comp. So when you get over $100,000, $250,000 in workers' compensation as a business, the way it's priced and the interaction and the service required, it's a whole different game. So we have specialty services that back each element of the needs in that segment.
So you guys offer insurance on every level. Is that correct? Health, auto, home, business, all of it.
We're a one-stop shop. Yeah, we have a personal lines division, an employee benefits division, as well as commercial insurance. So we're a one-stop shop for all of your insurance needs.
Yeah, we have probably 3,500 commercial clients. We have another 2,500 personal, where we're insuring homes and cars and things of that nature. And employee benefits is a division to where we can come in and turkey insurance at any level.
Are you focusing only in California, or can you write insurance in other states?
Yeah, so the marketing efforts are probably focused in California, but it's a broad net that's cast. So we have clients in all 50 states. We're licensed and insured in each of the 50 or the territories. And we have a pretty good size of international footprint as well.
That's really important because our audience is nationwide. And so it's really good to know that they can get a hold of you. I know that there are so many dinosaurs out there. And I know some of our clients are probably, some of our listeners are dealing with them right now.
Sure.
And if you're dealing with an agency that's a dinosaur, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. I mean, I really believe that.
Prehistoric times
you guys,
are over.
These guys are amazing. I love what they do. I love their integrity, and I love who they're attracting. Speaking of which, how do you attract that younger talent to your agency?
Well, you want to talk to it? That's kind
sure.
of your
yeah.
area, right?
I think it's a combination of we pull from two sides. You know, it's the innovation and technology element and the positive company culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the experience that comes with those 70-year-old agents that walk around. There's got to be a mentor-mentee relationship,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
The average insurance agent is 65 years old. So there's this massive opportunity for young people to come in and take over those books of business and fill the industry.
That's beautiful. So, and I love the way you put that. Yeah, wisdom. You know, we don't need more information. We need more wisdom. I tell people that all the time.
And
a lot of that wisdom comes from older people that have had a lot of experience.
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Glad you're pulling on that.
Well, it has been such a pleasure having you two here to enlighten us about what's possible out there in the world of insurance, because it is a necessary evil, isn't it? I mean, we all got to have it.
It is. We've never heard that before.
We have many times.
But I think it's so wonderful that we can have it in this way with guys as much fun and as innovative and just really plain cool as you are.
Thanks so much for
thank
having us.
Thank you for being with us,
you
Jamie
guys are
Garrett.
Amazing. I hope you'll come back and join us time and time
anytime,
again.
Anytime. Yeah.
C3
so
Insurance. Thanks. And the website
thanks,
one last time, Garrett.
www.c3insurance.com.
All right. And we'll be right back with our Smart Money section.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. It's our Smart Money segment. And here is one of the smartest men I know about money, Steve Sexton, our sponsor, from the Sexton Advisory Group.
You know, before we get into Steve, I want to remind our listeners that our show is going to be aired in San Diego now. We've got a little better time slot. We got Mondays at 7 p.m. So you get to start your week out with us every Monday. So I just want to let everybody know that. And Steve, I know you're excited about that. So I'm excited
Paula
to have
and
you
Ken,
here.
Can you, you know, Mondays?
Mondays now.
Man.
I'm a little bit sad about losing Transition Tuesday. It was such nice alliteration.
Yeah.
But starting the week with Paul and Ken, that does have a nice feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. Awesome. It does. So, Steve, welcome. It's so good to have you here on the show today.
Always. I'm really glad to be here.
Always.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Steve, we were talking earlier about what happens when a family member or a friend, mm-hmm. or even in your case, clients too, have a physical illness that comes up that really rocks their world financially. Oh. Just yesterday, I was saying to my parents, you know, things need to change as far as healthcare, because it's an awful thing when somebody gets something later in life and that now destroys you financially, because mm-hmm. we don't have the same kind of medicine as Canada or Britain or mm-hmm. places that have different programs.
Well, in different programs throughout the world, it's always different. But I'm glad that you brought this up, because typically a issue like this happens 4 or 5 times a year with clients, depending upon age. They could be in their 80s, 70s, 60s, mm-hmm. or like what happened recently with me with my brother in Indiana. Now, you know what? He's only 48 years old, has a couple kids in middle school, and Indiana is a right-to-work state, so they've been, you know, very tight when it comes financially. And he had melanoma cancer about 5 years ago, and then it came back with a vengeance. And now he's stage 4. They've given him 6 months to a year to live. So it's a really tough situation. And now his wife is going, okay, I'm not going to have a husband in six months to a year. I've got these two kids. What do I do? Mm. I'm working part-time. I used to do something else, but now I have to get retrained, and all these bills are just coming in. And, you know, what do? How do you handle it? I mean, and this is something that plays out all the way throughout the United States again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the statistics are, what, 1 in 4, something like that, that are going to end up with a cancer or some devastating disease. So,
and what do you do?
If it doesn't affect you now, I think all of us are impacted some way with our families, our friends. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with this?
Well, the first thing, I go back to, you know, like when I was going through cancer, when I woke up, I knew there was no place else to go but up.
Right. So you're the up man. That's right.
That's it. Never say die. And I think that's the first attitude to take. And something you said earlier about that wonderful lady that wrote the book, Dying to Be Me.
Nita Morjani. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Looking at a second or third alternative. Right. Or a fourth alternative, because I have a personal friend that started out with testicular cancer, found out he had lung cancer, and he went through 15 different chemo treatments. Yeah. And then the final one at St. Joseph's is the one that enabled him to go into remission.
Wow.
So it's right. Like, keep fighting, keep your head up. You never know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice.
You know, my sister was struck last year with cancer. She had stage three, but it was a fast-growing cancer in her lymph nodes, in her breasts. And she did the same thing. You know, she did the chemo, and it worked. It worked. It's completely clear out of her body now. Good. So, yeah, so there's a lot of hope. Right?
Yes. Well, you never know. And just remember, you look at option A, option B, option C, there might be a D or E in there too.
There might be. But in spite of whether, you know, you survive it or not, if you get it, you still got to take care and plan financially. So that's what you do. So you got people coming to you all the time with these challenges. What happens? What's going on?
Well, you know what? Part of it depends on what their situation is. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one of my clients... it's a husband and wife, but he's a Navy vet. Uh-huh. So he gets a pension. But when he passes, that pension's done. Okay?
Yes.
So she's thinking, oh, everything's fine. But you know what? When you lose $5,000 a month, that's like having $1 million in assets just go out the window because you're creating an income.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sit down and look at, where am I are now? What are those medical bills going to do to me? And then what's going to happen? Who's going to be left over to pick up the pieces? And how do you create a financial plan for that?
And you know what? So many times that is so difficult for a husband or wife to talk about. They really need to find somebody like you, Steve, that you can. They can sit down and have a third party be able to lay this out for them.
Because nobody wants to acknowledge the possible reality of the death.
Well,
and
that's
tough.
Big. Nobody wants to see their love. You know, and most people don't think they're going to die, too.
That's right.
And that's a good thing. That's the hope. That's, hey, I'm going to strive. But the reality is if you take a look at where the numbers are and you go, okay, this is your situation, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple in this similar situation, and they're actually younger than my brother. And you know what? They're getting a $500,000 life insurance policy when he passes. And he passed 2 months after we had this meeting. And I said, well, let's see, what's that going to do for you? Well, she goes, I'm going to pay off the house. Okay, she's going to pay off the house with $250,000. Okay, so what are you going to do to make money? You're going to get Social Security for your kids, okay? And then you're going to get your widow's benefit. But what's left? $250,000. So if we get 5%, you're going to get about $11,000, $12,000 a year. So how are you going to live off that after you pay off the house?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to create a plan that enables somebody to go, okay, what do I really need to do?
Right.
Okay. And what she did is she goes, okay, this isn't going to work for me. I need to start getting myself trained now. So while she was helping her husband go through the last couple of months of his life, she said, okay, what do I want to do? What training do I need to put in place for myself to go out there in the workforce to provide for my family? And the decision wasn't to pay off the house. The decision became to sell the house and then put themselves in a position, because now they went from $500,000 to $750,000. And we helped create a 6% return. So it went from, you know, at $12,000 to almost $43,000 plus the Social Security. Now they can afford to live in a condo. She can add other assets to that, and then they can buy a house later. But they're able to find a condo in the neighborhood that their school system was in.
Right.
So there's a lot of little things you have to look at,
mm-hmm.
because all too often people make those wrong decisions. And sadly enough, when they're younger, they could find themselves on the street because, you know, they go through money that they think is always going to be there for it, but it's not.
It's so true. That's one of the things I love about what you do, Steve. You look at the whole picture with your clients, and that's so important because people don't, you know, we're not all trained like you. We're not all experts. And so when you first said pay off the house, I thought, okay, that's probably a good idea, a smart thing to do. But when you told the whole story, I realized, oh, yeah, that would have been a disastrous decision.
Oh, yeah. You know, and there's a lot of people out there listening right now that are going, what the heck is that guy saying? You know what? Don't pay off the house. The reality is you have to look at the income. When you don't have one, you have to create one. And, hey, it's great you have a paid off house, but what is it going to pay for?
Exactly.
That makes so much sense. And so there's a lot of different choices going through these situations. And I think the real challenge is, you know, when people are under stress, a lot of times we just don't make the right choices.
That's very true.
You know?
Very true.
And unless you have an outside advisor, you have somebody that really is there, that cares about you, that really is not looking at a commission check and wondering how much they're going to make, but really cares about the person, which I know Steve Sexton to be that way. You know, you can get yourself in trouble. You got to have that person.
And you know what? Yeah. You also, besides family, you need somebody like Paula.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I've done this with the family therapist, and the family therapist helps people understand what they're dealing with and helps them work through that transition, which is gigantic.
Right.
Because if you don't know how to deal with the emotional stuff, you're not going to be able to deal with the financial stuff because you just won't be able to make a decision.
Exactly.
So
and
you
know,
got to get help.
We've had some guests on the show recently who have educated us that stress, that emotional stress, undermines every physical thing your body does, your digestion, your brain functioning, all of it. So especially if we're hoping maybe someone will heal, will have that miraculous recovery or just respond well to the treatment, the more stress we can take off the plate, the better, right? We leave the body so much stronger and able to do what it's designed to do.
So, Steve, do you do like a free consultation with people when they come in the office? Or how does that work? If somebody wanted to get a hold of you and say, you know, we're going to go through this. I need to talk to somebody who's trustworthy. How does that work?
You know what? Basically, our process is this. We're going to ask you to bring in all your financial information, and we're going to spend about an hour and a half or so just understanding what is going on and not really looking at the numbers, but what is going on and what do you want to do? How do you want to look at this? What is your end goal, knowing that somebody's going to walk out on life? And then you start looking at the individual financial pieces, and then we do an analysis. What's happening now? What do you need financially? What's going to happen after somebody walks out on life? This includes paying for the burial, the whole shot, okay, and that transition. And when we start talking about that transition and somebody tells me they're going through this, I usually ask them if they have somebody that's helping them deal with the emotions and the transition. And if they say yes, I ask them to bring somebody in. If they say no, I said, would you be open to talking to somebody that could help you with the skills to learn how to deal with this?
Yeah. Wow.
And I never tell them to help you solve your emotion. I say, learn the skills to deal with this because you've never dealt with it.
Well,
so that's the biggie right there. If they don't, I'll get somebody like yourself, Paula, and ask you to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The first meeting for me is always complimentary. The second one is like, how can I help them? Sometimes people are so shut off, they need to spend time with somebody like you before they come back and spend time with somebody like me so they can open up and think about those things and be able to help make some decisions. And this isn't a quick process. It might take a month or two.
Right.
It's slow but sure because there's a lot of thinking.
So what I just heard you say is get ahead of the curve. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Get ahead of the curves. Don't wait until things are in a desperate situation. Because the old saying, desperate people do desperate things.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to go there. You want to find somebody, specifically Steve Sexton and the Sexton Advisory Group, so that you can make those good choices and be secure in your financial future.
How do they reach you, Steve?
They can call 1-800-560-2611. Again, that's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to the Sexton Advisory Group website. It's the sextonadvisorgroup.com. I want to add one other little thing.
Yes.
Getting information that enables you to make prudent, informed decisions that will impact the quality of your life is very important when you're going through these things. Because if you don't, your money falls through the cracks, the quality of your life isn't there. And it's just very important that you get that information so you can make that decision.
Absolutely.
That's
Thank
great.
You so much, Steve. And we're
Thank you.
So happy and proud to have you as part of our Transition Radio family here. Thanks for so much good advice.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Steve.
Paula. Thanks, Ken.
And we want to remind you that we have moved our show in San Diego to 7 p.m. on Monday, new showtime. Also, you can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, over 14 different podcasts. We're also on Roku, Google TV, and YouTube. And of course, if you'd like to listen to our library, go to transitionradioshow.com, transitionradioshow.com. We hope you'll continue to listen and let your friends and family know about this amazing show. Thank you so much.
All right. See you next week.